The next transition came suddenly. The brow sank lower. The face grew longer, though the brain of this remote grandmother, much smaller than a modern human's, was nevertheless larger than a chimpanzee's.
Homo habilis, said David.
Or perhaps this is Australopithecus. The evolutionary lines are tangled. We're already 2 million years deep.
The anthropological labels scarcely mattered. It was profoundly disturbing, Bobby found, to gaze at this flickering, multi-generation face. The face of a chimpanzee-like creature he might not have looked at twice in some zoo, and to know that this was his ancestor, the mother of his grandmothers in an unbroken line of descent. Maybe this was how the Victorians felt when Darwin got back from the Galapagos, he thought. Now the last vestiges of humanity were being shed, the brain pan shrinking further, those eyes growing cloudy, puzzled. The background, blurred by the passage of the years, became greener. Perhaps there were forests covering Africa this deep in time, and still the ancestor diminished, her face fixed in the glare of the worm cam viewpoint, becoming more elemental, those eyes larger, more timid. Now she reminded Bobby more of a tarsier or a lemur. But yet those forward-facing eyes, set in a flat face, still held a poignant memory, or promise. David impulsively slowed their descent and brought them fleetingly to a halt some 40 million years deep. The shrew-like face of the ancestor peered out at Bobby, eyes wide and nervous. Behind her was a background of leaves, branches. On a plain beyond, dimly glimpsed through green light, there was a herd of what looked like rhinoceros, but with huge, misshapen heads, each fitted with 6 horns. The herd moved slowly, massive, tails flicking, browsing on low bushes and reaching up to the dangling branches of trees. Herbivores, then. A young straggler was being stalked by a group of what looked like horses, but these horses, with prominent teeth and tense, watchful motions, appeared to be predators. David said,
"The first great heyday of the mammals. Forests all over the planet. The grasslands have all but disappeared. And so have the modern fauna. There are no fully evolved horses, rhinos, pigs, cattle, cats, dogs."
The grandmother's head flicked from side to side, nervously, every few seconds, even as she chewed on fruit and leaves. Bobby wondered what predators might loom out of this strange sky to target an unwary primate. With Bobby's unspoken consent, David released the moment, and they fell away once more. The background blurred into a blue-green wash, and the ancestor's face flowed, growing smaller, her eyes wider and habitually black. Perhaps she had become nocturnal. Bobby glimpsed vegetation, thick and green, much of it unfamiliar. And yet now the land seemed strangely empty. No giant herbivores, no pursuing carnivores crossed the empty stage beyond his ancestor's thin-cheeked, shadowed, huge-eyed face. The world was like a city deserted by humans, he thought, with the tiny creatures, the rats and mice and voles, burrowing among the huge ruins. But now the forests began to shrink back, melting away like summer mist. Soon the land became skeletal, a plain marked by broken stumps of trees that must once have risen tall. Ice gathered suddenly to lie in thick swaths across the land. Bobby sensed life drawing out of this world like a slow tide. And then clouds came, immersing the world in darkness. Rain, dimly glimpsed, began to leap from the darkened ground. Great heaps of bones assembled from the mud and flesh gathered over them in gray lumps.
"Acid rain," murmured David.
Light flared, dazzling, overwhelming. It was not the light of day, but of a fire that seemed to span the landscape. The fire's violence was huge, startling, terrifying, but it drew back. Under a leaden sky, the fires began to collapse into isolated blazes that dwindled further, each licking flame restoring the greenery of another leafy branch. The fire drew at last into tight, glowing pellets that leapt into the sky, and the fleeing sparks merged into a cloud of shooting stars under a black sky. Now the thick black clouds drew back like a curtain. A great wind passed, restoring smashed branches to the trees, gently ushering flocks of flying creatures to the branches. And on the horizon, a fan of light was gathering, growing pink and white, at last turning into a beacon beam of brilliance pointing directly up into the sky.